Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck of katelovingschenck.com, prayerprescriptions.com, and the author of the upcoming book, Prayer Prescriptions, Spiritual Remedies for Long-Lasting Health. My guest this evening is Sarah Cavallaro, author of Dogs Have Angels Too. We will be discussing how dogs who are rescued end up rescuing their rescuers. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Sarah Cavallaro. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Kate. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, well, I'm happy to have you.
I'm happy to be here.
This is a wonderful, wonderful topic and one that, always energizes me, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
But first of all, I really am interested in how you came to write your book. And let me just say again, the name of the book is Dogs Have Angels Too. And I know that you're an author of other books or another book, so you can talk about that as well.
Right. How did I come to write this? Well, it originally...
Sorry.
I love the music. I love...
It's doing funny things. Okay, go ahead.
Well, first of all, I want to just comment on your music. Your music
Thank
is...
You.
Like my book, Bittersweet. That's how I feel.
Because yeah.
it embodies great wisdom and lessons to be learned, and it's very beautiful to hear, and it evokes a lot of emotion.
Thank you.
And so, that's what it feels like for my book as well. How did I come to this is the question. Well, I had originally written it as a screenplay, and I felt that it was too shallow in that way. I couldn't get to a narrative, so I really needed to talk about, I really needed for the character to tell you what was in her, what her thinking was. Why did she come to this? Where was her backstory?
Uh-huh.
And so...
explains so much why you have... the dialogue, you have a lot of dialogue in the book, and the fact that it was originally a screenplay answers that question for me, you know? So go ahead.
Exactly, and people have said, some people have said it reads like a screenplay, and I don't know if that's an insult or not. They seem to like it. Some people just love it the way it's done because it feels very natural. So
yeah,
I don't know. Depends who's reading.
Well, a screenplay from... my perspective is that's a great compliment because that is exactly what your original intent was.
Exactly, and I wanted to tell, I saw it visually at first, and then I saw the whole story of her life, and it was very difficult to put that into the screenplay, so that's why I did the book. And also I wanted the little dogs each dog has a very distinctive life and a backstory and a spirit, and they needed to talk too. So it had to be written in this way at first. Now if I go back and I develop it into a TV series, which I'm hoping to do, it will be different. You know, I have now all the understandings of everything with them. So.
Oh, that's wonderful. That would be a great TV series.
From your mouth to God's ears, as they say.
Well, we have certainly a lot of dog lovers in this world and in this country, so I think it's very appropriate.
Definitely in this country.
Yes, yes.
They really love, I don't know, I haven't studied other countries in this way, but people in this country really feel obligated and are getting more and more aware of the dogs having souls and the deeper aspect of a relationship with an animal, which is so important.
Yeah, like we were just talking a few minutes before this show, how my dog Ulysses seemed so much a part of my life even after he passed in January, and it almost seems like the dog before him, they orchestrate a lot of our lives, and they orchestrated the coming of our next dog who's living with us, a rescue dog, like the dogs in your book. His name is Pearl. She's just
Pearl.
quite a smart girl.
She's so grateful, I'm sure, huh, to be there.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, and she's so smart.
They're
she's
so
a
smart.
Cattle dog. I think she's an Australian cattle dog is what I've decided.
And what happened? How did she was abandoned at where the shelter? You saw her on the street? Or?
Oh, this is an interesting story. My friend Sheila Duncan, who is of Trouble the Dog fame, she is a dog rescuer, and she rescues the dogs from Tennessee. So she kept sending me these dog pictures from the many dogs that are left stranded there. And that I think it was like a lot of wild dogs who basically are running in packs and so forth.
Mm.
So this is why they focused in on Tennessee as a place to rescue dogs. So I took up this little picture of Pearl, and she had been... I guess, living in the woods for God knows how long, and she was just a very skinny little thing, and skin and bones and starving. And I live in Pennsylvania, and my husband and our son went and picked her up and brought her home, and she is quite this little girl. So, so it's just amazing to think of how... What must have happened to her? I have no idea.
And she's a lucky one. There's, that's a whole, we could talk for about, 10 weeks on that whole issue of who's not lucky and who is lucky. And really, it could be just a crapshoot.
Yeah, I guess there's so many dogs who just don't make it.
They don't
and
make it. And,
that,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the abuse is insane.
Yeah. Just the reason that people give up their animals is unbelievable.
There sometimes there's just no reason. They it's not convenient. Well, of course, life, yeah, it's not convenient to some people.
Yeah, and that's a strange, they don't love animals.
Well, they think they do. I mean, it's like people say that they love other people and then they kind of discard relationships when they get a little too rough. So I brought all these issues into my book. And
sure.
Book is really for the 21st century. It's about a woman who redefines herself. What is she, a marketing executive who ends up getting axed because, two companies merge and she's living in New York City and she runs eventually out of her money, which one can do easily after a couple of years. And that's a lucky one after a couple of years. And she ends up pretty much kind of in a shelter, which this, for a month. And she does everything she can to try to, she ends up getting volunteering for accidentally almost for animals because she didn't own an animal before she started to volunteer at the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the story
mm-hmm.
of this woman who ends up kind of being the leader of the pack and saving animals and working on, marketing them, and she's a really eccentric kind of character, and she runs into, it's all about, her adoption walks and how she interests other people. She's like a talent agent, to how great the dogs are, My dog can do this, and my dog can do that. And meanwhile, she's got tons of them,
Yeah, yeah.
And
she becomes very heart-to-heart with them. She becomes very close to them.
Yeah. And I've met a lot of these people, I lived in New York for 30, I lived in Manhattan for 30 something years, and I met a lot of people like this lady that I wrote about, actually.
Dog rescuers, they go out in the streets.
But also people who are kind of on the fringe. themselves. And what they do is they end up, in order to really not go overboard, they end up completely giving their love to animals. I mean, I used to go on the subway and I would see this woman like with these dogs in paper bags. I'd be like,
oh,
little
gosh.
Dogs. It was crazy. But she loved these dogs. She put them in her shopping cart. And this had been a woman who, incidentally, had money at one point and very well educated and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, there's so many, there must be some very extreme stories that have happened to people who do lose everything in Manhattan and are homeless that kind of go unnoticed.
Well, they will pretend that they are not homeless, which is very interesting. No one will tell you they're homeless. And they look great, you know, they're completely in order. And they're embarrassed, you know, so they're trying to get work or, you know, trying to change their life. And eventually, I was just reading this article about all these celebrities, actually, who had been homeless at one point.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Oh, it's wild. I didn't even realize this, if you Google it, and how they get themselves back on, how they got themselves into this fantastic world of acting and whatever they're doing. But you would never know that these people had been homeless, and they changed their lives by their commitments.
Yeah,
and they're not mentally ill either. Do you know what I mean?
No,
very hard.
No. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have, you know, a schizophrenic issue, I mean, it's very hard to change your life at that point. I'm talking about people who just are financially having problems.
Yes. Oh my gosh! And there must be, like, I was just thinking that there's more of that now than. Then maybe it's recovering, but I think there's a lot of desperation.
There's big time desperation out there, and it's not going to get better.
It's can't.
Unfortunate,
it really
but we're not headed towards. It's going to be a tough road for this country, I think.
Yeah, yes, but it sounds like there. I remember the stories of, I think it was Doris Day. Going into the streets of New York and not having a very hard time finding animals that needed her help. Very interesting stories that she told. And I think, that, you know, speaking of celebrities, you know, with animals.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. I mean, I just kind of went on a diversion just because I was thinking about homeless people who end up redefining their life and, you know, succeed and do great things. But this... You know, when one makes a commitment to animals and they feel their souls and they know what their needs are, I mean, they change their lives. They change their own life by rescuing these people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
By rescuing the animals.
Yes, let's talk a little bit about that. That is a fascinating twist of how we usually think of rescuing dogs. We don't really think that they really end up rescuing us. So let's talk about that. That's to me a fascinating topic. How did you come up with that? Is that really the premise of your book?
I really truly believe it is, because Miss Pink, who has lost her job and gets a job at a shelter, actually an animal control center, which they do euthanize still in New York. They will end up not doing that, I think, in a couple of years, but right now they still do. She understands the pain of these animals and is desperate to try to change their fate. And so she, even though she's got all these problems, financially and otherwise, she rescues these animals, and they really rescue her.
Yeah.
They change her life. She, in fact, changes her entire life by working through her fear, because she has a fear of big dogs, and she has to deal with a pit bull that needs to be rescued and doesn't deserve to be euthanized.
Mm-hmm.
And so she has to deal with all of these fears, and it brings up her fear of men and, you know.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of stuff gets brought up when you have to work through your fear of a beautiful, muscular animal, right?
Yeah.
Four-legged animal.
Go ahead. Yeah, that's right.
You know, so Miss Pink does that, right? And then in doing that, she also, she helps a lot of women that need to, that are really having a hard time in life. And they kind mm-hmm. of get on the bandwagon of helping dogs too.
Yes.
And learning to love. And she kind of becomes this leader of the pack. And what does that mean, leader of the pack? I don't mean it in a, I mean it in that, in a spiritual way.
And how would that translate? I think for me, the leader of the pack, as far as being a human, would be that they are becoming more in tune with nature and the animal world, and in that way, they have discovered their true essence.
Yeah, and they accept themselves. When you learn to accept your good and your bad and your circumstances, whether they're good or they're bad, you can really lead and help lead other people to accept theirs.
That's right. And I think that there are a lot of traumatic experiences that people have surrounding their animals. Like if the animals have died in some sort of violent way, or that happened to me when I was living on a commune around here, where I, in this area, where a neighbor who hated so-called hippies killed, just shot 8 or 10 of our dogs. And I was traumatized by that.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so the dogs that we had recently, including Ulysses, they had helped a little bit. But I think Pearl is helping me more importantly with that whole thing, because she's so smart, and I have to let her go in some ways, and she always she is always coming back. You know, I have to let go of my fear of her running away, because she doesn't,
or getting killed,
and she doesn't, and all that kind of stuff. And when I let go of my fear, I feel like I'm liberated, and so that's how they help us by
That's one. I mean, there's so many, yeah, of course, so many ways. Like, we have a place in the Dominican Republic, and some people, before they want to rob you, they throw poison in meat to kill the dogs that guard your yard. And my friend, my husband's friend, who lives down the street, had 4 dogs killed that way.
Oh, that's, it breaks your heart, you know.
Oh, yeah. So he had to now then get a 5th dog that he fell so madly in love with, Luna, who he keeps in the house. He's so afraid of Luna coming out in the yard.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, now we have 2 dogs that we inherited. My mother-in-law passed away last year.
Mm-hmm.
She had 2 little puppies. So we have somebody living there now taking care of the dogs, right? They're not puppies anymore. They're big. And I'm not afraid of, I'm not going to lock them in a house. And I don't, and I'm not going to, you know, they just run and they go in the yard. And I just have faith that they're going to be okay. I just have to believe that.
Yes.
And that's it. And so far, so good. She passed away maybe like a year ago. So they're fine. They're happy. You know, they're well taken care of. So hopefully nobody will do anything. I don't think they will. And anyway, we tried to teach these dogs to stay away from whatever's thrown over.
Uh-huh.
Like
how did you do that?
Well, we're trying to. You know, there's this dog professional who, you know, puts like a bad taste on some of the things that are thrown over. We kind of are trying to, I guess, behaviorally train them, you know. But they still go for something that smells good, you know. We haven't broken them of that habit.
Yeah,
but I think they're going to be okay.
You can wrap them in a protective light of, you know, of protection.
Well, that's exactly where they're wrapped right now, and they're going to be forever wrapped there. And my mother-in-law loves those dogs, and she's guarding her house. So, you know,
oh, that's
what I mean?
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's looking over them.
I believe she is.
She's their guardian angel. Yeah.
I believe she is totally there all the time. I feel her there.
You know, this whole idea that dogs don't go to heaven, that's the biggest laugh I've ever heard. Not that, you know, that's a stupid concept probably to begin with, heaven, hell, and all that, because people create their own heaven and their own hell right here and right now. But the whole idea that certain religions actually believe that dogs don't go to heaven is laughable.
Listen, some believe that women don't go to heaven, okay?
Yeah, there you go.
Forget about dogs. Throw it all in that category.
Yeah,
only,
yeah.
Only they go to heaven.
Only men go to heaven, right?
Only those particular men go. Not even their brothers.
Well, now, these two dogs that you have, you actually did rescue them because...
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've rescued dogs before. In fact, mm-hmm. I rescued a dog named Athena, and she's in my book.
Oh, she is something else, isn't she?
Yeah, she's in my book.
I
Athena.
Know she is.
I know. Mm-hmm. I love her. She pee-pees everywhere, and they can't seem to train her.
Well, she straightens out, though, with that problem.
Yeah, eventually she does.
Well, the whole story, though, about the couple who are fighting over the dog, it's just so typical of using animals as some sort of control thing. And, you know, not really valuing the life and the soul and the beauty of an animal and just using them against to pit one against the other is what went on there. And no wonder the dog had problems peeing and holding her bladder.
It was very emotional, like a kid.
Mm-hmm,
exactly,
mm-hmm.
Like a child. The child would feel the same way.
I know, beating animals. But they do... I heard a terrible story about an animal the other night where this woman who eventually did divorce her husband had a dog that she loved dearly. It was a mix between a golden retriever and a lab. Beautiful, beautiful animal who, as a younger dog, stole a pie that off the table. And the husband, whom, like I said, she eventually divorced this man, probably this was the reason. He took off his belt and he beat the dog, and the dog always cowered in front of this man from there on out. And she said that she believed that had he, you know, had more of I'm sorry to the dog, an apology, you know, if he really would have thought, oh my God, I shouldn't have done it, and made up with the dog, that the dog would have forgiven him. But because he hated the dog, that the dog just retreated and actually would cower and bare her teeth at him.
Yeah, well, you know what that's all about. You're right, he didn't love the dog. He didn't punish the dog to punish the dog about the eating the pie. He punished the dog because he hated the dog. He beat the dog because he hated the dog.
Yeah.
So there was nothing redeemable.
Redeemable, yeah. He... in his, it seems like he was taking something else out on the dog, too.
He probably was beaten like hell as a kid, too, you know?
Yeah, I'm thinking. So it's kind of like people who don't revere animals as some sort of, like we were just saying, there's a lot of people in this country who love dogs. I think there's a lot of people who actually worship dogs. And I am pretty much one of those.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
And that's because they are, and well, you said
they unconditionally love. Like I had written about in this book,
mm-hmm.
they really mm-hmm. will lick the hand that beats them. It's very rare, you know. It's very rare that a dog's going to turn on a master. Very rare.
Well, in this case, like I was saying, this dog was pretty much turning on that man, and. It was a constant reminder to the woman how, and she's such an animal lover. I think it was a constant reminder.
Well, he didn't
reminder.
Like her then. That husband didn't like his wife.
No, never did, really.
No,
and,
so she was smart to get rid of him.
Yeah, I mean, she saw in the dog a constant reminder that she should get rid of him sooner than later.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
That's
now,
why I wrote about that Cindy and Bill, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You say that dogs have angels, but I think that dogs are angels.
They are angels, and they have to have angels on this earth because, you know what? It's
mm-hmm.
a ruthless territory if you don't have support.
Yes. Yeah, no doubt Pearl would have died had she not been picked up by these people who had just become rescuers for the SPCA of Tennessee. And they wanted to keep her, but they had all these little chihuahuas. Now, I'm telling you this story, and her little head is on my lap listening. They love to listen to their stories.
Oh, she's listening. That's
yeah,
so cute.
She's listening. So the rescuers who rescued her had a bunch of chihuahuas who she was chasing around the house, and the chihuahuas did not like her. So they wanted to keep her, but, you know, because they had become official dog rescuers, they just couldn't just keep every dog that they rescued. And not only that, the chihuahuas hated her, so which was lucky for us.
Yeah, exactly. We have one of the dogs in the Dominican Republic that we have is a little chihuahua, and
mm-hmm.
we call
mm-hmm.
him Little Bastard. And I don't mean that in a curse. I just mean it because he thinks he's like the cat's meow. He's like, you know, he thinks he's like a giant, I don't know, a cougar or something.
Well, he is. He has the soul of a cougar.
It's so crazy.
And I assume that your husband loves animals as much as you do.
Yeah. Yeah. These are his mother's dogs, incidentally.
Yes, you said, yes.
Yeah.
That makes sense that he would
He loved his mother.
Take very good care of them.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how do you envision making this into a series? Obviously, you...
Well, I wrote a pilot, and I'm in California now. We've actually moved from New York to Los Angeles 6 months ago, and I'm going and talking to, you know, studio executives, network executives, writers, and et cetera, to develop it. And I wrote a pilot, and we're working on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process.
Wow, that's very exciting.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about it because I really feel intuitively it's the right thing to do.
Uh-huh.
And I was in the film business, you know, I had a commercial TV company, right? I did commercials
right.
25 years. So this just feels very natural to me.
So you do know people there and you have connections in the industry, so that really helps.
And I'm making
that whole thing.
Making new connections, making new friends,
mm-hmm.
which is nice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Really
How
nice.
How exciting
actually.
Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's amazing. It's really nice. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Well, and I was going to, since you're not in Manhattan anymore, it sounded like to me that is Manhattan going to become a no-kill zone for animals?
I think that they have it slated for like 2015 or 2016,
uh-huh.
something like that, but it's not right now.
Well, my
and you want to hear the weirdest story? This is another thing.
Sure.
I totally believe that, you know, there's a, I don't know if it's a Buddhist saying or some kind of saying that says when the student's ready, the teacher shows up, right?
Right.
Is that a Buddhist saying? Or?
I think it's a spiritual Buddhist saying, yeah.
Okay, so.
I hear it all the time, yeah.
When I was in New York, it was about 8 or 10, 12 months ago. I hadn't finished the book yet. I just finished it in June, I believe, or May,
mm-hmm.
June, around there. And I absolutely had a moment of, like, total insecurity. Like, oh, mm-hmm. it's not good. It's this. It's that. I'll never get, you know, we'll never get its legs, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked out of the window, and a box was dropped off. And I saw the wood, the cardboard moving.
Aww.
And I said to my husband, "Oh my God, the cardboard's moving." He said, "Well, don't go and touch it because it could be a rat. It could be you don't know what's cooking. You know, let me put like a piece of wood. Let me check it out." So he checks it out. He opens it, and it's an abandoned dog. So we call, you know, every place we could call, you know, the shelters, the this, the that, because the dog had, was snarling and, you know, very angry. And he says, you know, don't put your hand in there because, you know, you don't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go to the, we'll call the shelters, we'll do this. So, I mean, I ran to the local shelter. He called this one, that one. Meanwhile, nobody's coming. People are saying the one shelter says they're full up. The other one has another issue. AC, Animal Control Center, says they're going to send someone, but nobody's showing up. And I'm freaking out. Well, do you know what happens?
Yes.
A homeless person comes with a shopping cart, looks in the box, takes the dog, and leaves.
Oh, my gosh.
And I went, holy cow, you know what? God said, you know, I'm writing about, you know, a homeless woman who adopted
a
dog.
Yes, exactly.
I said, whoa. And then I had prayed before that saying, God, if I'm wrong, you know, just take it all away. Like, okay, it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a good writer. It's not a good interest. You know, it's whatever. All the insecurities came up. That was what came as I was praying.
You know what? That is a very beautiful story. It
so,
really,
there you,
you
go.
Know, it validates everything.
And he took the dog.
Yeah. Gotta love that. That's so beautiful.
Yeah. And he didn't care that the dog bit him, huh?
Well, how many
he didn't care.
People do you think have dogs?
Well,
and
I was doing research on that, and there's a ton of them. And there's, in fact, I was doing research in L.A. There's a service or some kind of organization that is trying to help them keep their dogs by doing certain things to the dogs, like putting them, spaying them, or neutering, putting some microchip, giving them the appropriate shot so that the homeless people could have their dogs.
Yes.
They're doing everything they can to do that because they
well,
love
you know,
their dogs, some of them.
Well, just think about that. It really helps them get out of a depression. A terrible.
Yeah.
That
it goes to
the
animal rescuing the person. That, see, it goes full
there
circle.
It does.
That's
it does.
That's what I was trying to talk about, you know.
Yes. Well, and getting back to a no-kill zone, Norfolk, Virginia has one. I think San Francisco has one. I'm not sure.
Right now, currently? Cause
I'm not sure.
California, L.A. doesn't. L.A. is still getting, you know, moving in that direction, but I don't think it's going to be 100% this year, you know.
I was very impressed, though, because my brother lives in Norfolk, and he has a few animals that had to do with this. The no-kill zone people trace all the animals in the city. They have them all filed in a computer system, and they know exactly where every animal goes and which ones are abandoned and how to reconnect them to people who might know them or want to take care of them.
Mm.
And like just for an example, my brother had a litter of kittens right under his house, and then there was a fire, and a bunch of cats were abandoned out of that house. And then the people came in and took all the cats and gave them to a woman who was taking care of a lot of cats, but then too many cats. She had too many cats. And then she became ill. And then the no-kill zone sort of people came in, and they had all of these animals traced, and they hadn't known that this one cat was born under my brother's porch, and they called him back. And it's just this incredible interconnection, and they keep track of it all. It's fascinating to me. I just thought, well, this is the way it should be. We should abolish the death penalty. Every place should be no kill zones for animals. All this kind of stuff.
Yeah. I hope that happens.
Yes, I do too. It would make for a much more humane society, because when you have people, just animals and people being killed for no reason, in my opinion.
People, you mean, or animals?
Well, both. The capital punishment and the no-kill zone.
Oh, you
if
mean
you
if,
have,
they're, if they're innocent or if they're guilty, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter to me.
Right.
No. And I think a lot of people who are innocent are being killed all the time. But it doesn't.
Yeah, like especially in war. mean,
yeah,
that you know, that blows my mind.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, I thought you would think at this point, with all the technology, that our brains and our souls would be like way past this sticks and stones, I'm going to beat your bones. And we haven't yet come past that. It's crazy to me.
Well, the majority of Americans are totally opposed to all these wars, and it's getting more and more that we're all getting sick of it. So I think that public
opinion but we don't control the whole world. The problem is that it's the world. We don't live in a microcosm or in a bubble. I mean, we have to react and respond to, a lot of crazy people.
And another thing is if people were more involved in voting and so forth, you would have a better chance at having more of a voice. But people have become more and more despondent about just the simple act of voting. So
the Americans, I have faith in. I have so much faith in Americans. Worries me, because, I think our heads are in the right place. You know, I what worries me is some of these other countries.
Right.
Where they're like, they don't value life the way we value it. So we better have a way to defend ourselves, That's all I can say.
But the majority, I don't think there's any other country that has capital punishment, and we're kind of like the last.
They don't even some countries don't even give you a trial. They just kill you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I mean, are you kidding me?
They
couldn't care less about your due process. I mean, they're going to my God, there's crazy countries.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm thinking about Europe and Canada and all those places.
Yeah, those are the more normal places. they're educated.
Yes.
Get
but out. I would like to see no kill zones for animals all over this country. That would just be a dream come true for me, I think. That would be something to really work on.
I know.
I think it would be good to just start where we are and get that happening, because it's barbaric to be killing animals like that.
It's completely, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, let's see. I wanted to ask you a little bit more about defining our lives by rescuing animals. I think that is a fascinating way of looking at it, because, I think it's the unconditional love, and that can become a cliche, but it is the unconditional love that helps define us when we're around animals, especially dogs.
Yeah, that, and also like little babies, we kind of have the same feeling. Like, we love little babies. We love them. And we love puppies. And we,
puppies, yes.
Oh,
that's right.
My gosh. And I have a scene in I have a chapter that the lady, this old lady comes into the animal shelter, and she's so old and she's so poor and she's sick, and she has to release this dog king. She loves him so much. And she tells the lady at the Sheila at the animal control shelter, tell them that he's a puppy.
Right.
Because people love puppies. They don't like old dogs or old people.
That's kind of when
I say unconditional love, boy.
Oh, my gosh, but I love old dogs.
I do, too.
I
saw a beautiful photograph. Did you see that on the internet? The old dogs were in the shopping carts, and the guy was wheeling them around.
No, I didn't see that. Oh, my gosh.
They're very cute.
I one time I took care of an old beagle for a friend for a period of time, and I'll never forget just walking slowly with the beagle, taking the dog for a walk. It was just so sweet to slow down to this dog's level of activity. And doing so, it reminded me that that was one moment and one experience that helped me to heal from that traumatic the traumatic loss of those dogs being shot, just to slow down and remember instead of running away from the memories. It was an old dog that did it, and I've ever since I've loved old dogs. They're just so, so wonderful. And
yeah.
An old dog isn't really, you know, they're not, they don't live that long. So
do you think it's true, that cliche, oh, you can't teach an old dog tricks?
No, I don't. Mainly because people think that humans don't learn things as they get old, but the latest studies of the brain show that people really, really can learn just as much, and if not more, because of their experience. But the thing is, we have to take care of the brain. You know, you have to take care of feeding yourself good nutrition and drinking plenty of water and exercising, getting plenty of sleep, and thinking wonderful thoughts. So when you do that, you're taking care of your brain. And so people who are getting older can learn. But, you know, obviously if you have belief system and you hear people always saying, oh, I'm getting old. Well, if you have that belief system, then you can't learn new things because you think you can't.
Yes, right, exactly. It's all what the thoughts are carrier wings, right?
Yeah.
They bring back what you put out there.
Exactly. So I had noticed with my last two dogs who were old when they, comparatively speaking for a dog, you know, when they passed, they were so intuitively with everything we did or said. I mean, this is one thing about my husband. He loved animals so much, and he became totally in tune with Pearl immediately. So, because
is he in the health field too?
He's a teacher and he's a healer too. So when he picked her up, she knows that he rescued her. He has no fear about he wherever he goes, she goes, and she doesn't run off at all with him. So anyway, the older dogs though were totally in tune with us intuitively, and we didn't have to euthanize them because they died in our arms. And even though that was very poignant and very tough, it was what. Well, of course, now they come and help the dogs pass in people's homes too, and then you can have ceremonies like kind of there, and you can do all kinds of things to help them pass. So I don't have nothing against euthanasia, but if they are suffering, but our two dogs weren't suffering, so I think it was, you know, I feel good about it. But they're just so smart, and I think dogs are intelligent in an intuitive way more than anything. You know, they're tuned into us. They really are our mirrors, as it were.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a gentleman who wrote a book, who's going to be on my radio show tomorrow, who wrote the book called Your Dog is Your Mirror. And I started to read it just when Tom went to get the Pearl in Tennessee. And when we were all lying in bed and she was facing me. And I thought, well, yeah, your dog is your mirror, but I am her mirror too because of the way she was staring at me, trying to figure out who are you, the kind of thing.
Yeah, of course.
It's a typical thing. It's like we're mirrors for each other.
Exactly.
Fascinating.
I mean, my book is a mirror of me, of my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
It mirrors back to me where I am in my life. Hello? Kate?
Sarah, we got disconnected. I'm sorry. So you
Okay. What happened?
All of a sudden there was a void. I just noticed that I got my phone just...
No, I was saying to you, Kate, that my I understand that because my book is a reflection of me, and it reflects back to me the work that I do, as you do in your nurse and your healing, and it reflects back to me where I'm at in my life.
Right, right.
I mean, whatever we put ourselves into, if they're sincere, if it's sincere action,
mm-hmm.
is a reflection.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. So much is a reflection of our life in our lives.
Yeah,
and that's a real spiritual practice to look at it that way.
And that's what I'm trying to do with my work. I mean, not I'm trying to. I think I'm actually doing it. You know, and it feels good. So the day I die, I'm gonna be happy because I'm gonna feel that I did. I was honest with myself in my later
yeah.
life. You know.
Yes, yes. Well, you've always been involved in artistic pursuits, so it seems like
yeah.
you're getting more involved in that as time, even more involved in that, and that's being true to yourself. Focusing
yeah.
on animals, too.
Yeah, focusing on I love the soul of animals. I love their souls. I like,
yes,
love their
pure.
Souls.
Very pure.
They're pure.
Very
they don't innocent. Like give me, oh my God, I could look at them and like I just feel so good, just so good.
Sarah, tell us I don't want to forget this at the end of the show and have it be too late. What is the place where our listeners can reach you? Like your website and...
Oh, dogs have, it's the same as the dogs have angels too. .com.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
And you can order this book through Amazon. You can order it through BarnesandNoble.com and Worthy Shorts. But I guess Amazon is probably the most recognized brand, right? And,
yeah.
And Dogs Have Angels Too, and it's TOO.com. Or you can order it through my website.
Is it an e-book on Kindle?
It's
or
an e-book, and it's a PDF. It's an e-book. It goes on, I don't know what they're called, Kindles.
The Nooks
and all of that. It's formatted for everything. You don't have to buy the actual paper copy. You can do the technical copy.
Right on. So it sounds like the book is becoming a screenplay. It's not a screenplay.
Well,
it's
actually going to become a series. We're working towards that, and it will be called Dogs Have Angels Too. And I'm really hoping and praying that it happens. Within this year, that it gets a green
yeah.
light. But that it gets a green
yeah.
light. You know, then you have to produce it.
Yes. Are you going to be the producer?
I'm going to be one of the producers.
Yeah.
And that's kind of one of my job titles. I've been doing that for about 25 years. And I'll be welcoming partners that, are great showrunners and know how to put this one into the work.
Yes.
Right? Into the vein of the media.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like there's a lot of interest for it. And I don't, it seems like it's... Do you think it's going to be a comedy?
It is. You're funny you asking me that, huh? Remember I said bittersweet?
Yes, yes.
Comedy drama. Because
comedy
there is
drama.
Comedic moments. You
yes.
know, it is funny in a way, and the idea is could be sad, but it isn't sad. You know, when you're helping
no.
and things are happening and it's written in a certain way, drama can be very funny.
Yes.
And I like that. It can be. I like all of it. The fulfillment of it.
Well, I think even my husband and I are watching the old series of Frasier because I never got a chance to see it.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And the funniest part of it is the dog. His name is Eddie.
Yeah.
And the strangest things happen is when Eddie appears and does these crazy things. And if it weren't for Eddie, the show wouldn't be as funny.
There you go. You see? There you go.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
I have 10 dog characters. I have Mr. Bull, I have Brownie, I have Athena, I have Abigail. Do you remember Abigail?
Yeah, I do
remember
Sheltie. Abigail. Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And the Sheltie belongs to like a Mrs. A Ruth Madoff type.
Yes, that's right.
Right. Who they think abandoned the Sheltie, but meanwhile the Sheltie was kidnapped.
Right, right. Well, now you need some beautiful dogs to play these roles.
Oh, yeah, I will definitely get them. Definitely.
Yes,
I
will.
I'm so excited to cast those dogs.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine how fun that would be?
I'm going to be in heaven. That's my day.
I can hardly wait. You must keep in touch with me and tell me all about it.
Definitely.
Oh, my gosh.
Definitely. Invite me back on your show and when it's more evolved, and I'll tell you more about it.
Oh, please do. Now, are these dogs going to be Hollywood dogs, like actors?
They're real dogs. You know, Sheltie, Abigail's a Sheltie, you know, and from the
yeah,
book.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Mr. Bull is a real bulldog, a gorgeous male bulldog. Brownie is, you know, a little poodle who's neurotic and has been abused. Athena's mm-hmm. a mutt. She looks like a little deer, though.
Oh, that's beautiful.
She looks like a beautiful little fawn. Not a deer, a baby deer, you know, a fawn.
Yes. They all look like baby fawns.
Oh, my God, and so graceful and like little pitter-patters and, oh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Beige and little white in the front, you know. So, I mean, yeah, I want to cast exactly what I see, you know, what's written.
Yes,
and,
exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they're characters, you know. They are their own, you know, actors in a way.
Yes. Yes. Well, in a way, you might need, there's a lot of Hollywood dog actors, from what I gather. And,
yeah, I think I'm going to do, yeah, I used to do some dog commercials, you know, dog food commercials.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
I think I really have worked with some great dog wranglers.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always open to meeting more, of course. But
yes. Yes.
I definitely understand that, what they have to do, you know, their little jobs they have to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they have to be trained.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah.
They have to listen. They have to take direction.
They're professionals.
Yes, they are.
I know.
They are professionals. Well, that's what one of the stars in Frasier made a comment about Eddie, that he said that the dog was an actor, and he swore after three or four seasons of the show Frasier that the dog didn't know who they were at all, because he's an actor and he didn't care who they were. He was just doing his job.
It's
which
true,
I don't think
huh?
It's true.
No,
sure,
because maybe
true.
They attach. You know, dogs attach so easily, and they get emotional. They, you know, they form relationships. My God, they know.
They know everything. It's just that maybe he didn't form his attachment.
Yeah, exactly. He saw him as an actor. He saw himself maybe as an actor.
Yeah.
Without attachment.
Without attachment, yeah. That would be hard to be in a show like that and not be attached to that dog, I'll tell you.
Oof.
Well,
I can't wait. I'm so excited.
You know,
so, you know.
That is really, really interesting. About having this book as a series with all these dogs and casting them and getting to know their characters and, you know. And
it can go on and on and on, right? Because when you read the book, I mean, it's almost like that. You're following each person's relationship, their story, their narrative, you know, their what their motives are, what their fears are, what their, you know, the pleasures are.
Exactly, and you will have to have a dog trainer on the set.
Oh yeah, many dog trainers.
Gosh, they're going to have a job. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to employ a lot of people, including dogs.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to get these great jobs. Well, I can guarantee right now that's going to be a very popular show.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Thank you.
You're going to gain quite a lot of, success with it. There's no doubt about that in my mind. So,
I predict. You do? Oh, thank you.
Yes.
I definitely thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
So
I think we've probably said everything we can say. And
okay, and I thank you so much for allowing me to, A, express myself, and B, to be on your show. And also, I really enjoyed talking to you.
It's really fun talking with you, Sarah. And I'm very much looking forward to when this starts getting going in Hollywood and the show comes up, that you come back on the show and we will have fun with that. And that'll be just terrific.
Yeah, right? Oh, my gosh.
The most important thing is the fun. Oh, my heaven.
And have fun with your new little addition to your family.
Oh, my gosh. It's just perfect. Thank you. Well, have a wonderful evening. And
you too. And again, thank you very much, Kate.
Thank you. And be well. Be well. www.dogshaveangels.com.
Wait, no, it's dogshaveangels2.com. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Bye, Kate.
Thank you. Here we go.
Okay.
Music for mother and child.
Thank you.